Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And of course, our text to voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. We will get to some mailbag content on tomorrow, Friday's episode. Jordan's off today, so I'll be holding down the fort with a recap of the Bulls' underwhelming, but also pretty exciting at the finish, comeback from behind win over the Washington Wizards in D.C. last night. This was a strange game, very much so, from start to finish. It was a weird one. The Bulls got some big performances from Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and also Chris Dunn, who has certainly been playing well of late. And they needed quality games from all of their starters. Satoransky even chipped in with a solid game, 17-7-6. They needed it because the bench did essentially nothing in this win. 2 points from Thad Young on 1 of 10. Gafford, 2 points. Kobe White continues to struggle, just 3 points. Archie had 2. Valentine had 5. So, a few things that I wanted to hit on this game. We'll talk about Zach LaVine late in this game and his moments of clutch. Markkanen having a solid game, arguably his best game since the season opener. And then, as I mentioned, Chris Dunn with another solid outing. He had 15-5-5 before fouling out late in this one. So let us start with Zach LaVine. It looked like coming into this game, we were in for a high-scoring affair between two pretty bad teams. The Wizards coming into this game, essentially the worst defensive team in the league, but a very high-octane offense led by a John Wall-less Bradley Beal, who is just playing lights out this season. Beal and LaVine actually both struggled in this game, shooting from the floor. LaVine finished 6 of 23 from the field, Beal 4 of 19. But they both were productive at the free throw line. Beal 13 of 14. He finished with 22 points, largely thanks to the charity stripe. And LaVine was a perfect 11 of 11 at the free throw line. Of course, 5 of those were big ones late in this game. Drew a foul on a 3-point attempt, and then also drew a foul on that inbounds play with 0.5 seconds left that allowed LaVine to get to the line, knock down 2 big free throws, and send this game into overtime. So, kudos to Zach LaVine for having big stones to sink big free throws late in a game where the Bulls managed to claw their way back. The reason they had to claw their way back is because Zach was having an off night. And the Bulls, despite going up against the softest defense in the league, were really struggling on the offensive end. Before they went on this tear, just a little over the halfway mark of the fourth quarter, when they were down 92-75, I mean, they had 75 points 4 minutes into the fourth quarter. We've seen this offense struggle. They've been struggling all season long. I think coming into last night's game, they were the 29th ranked offense in the NBA. And we also saw them not that long ago have a pathetic 73 points in a home loss. So, yes, the offense has been struggling. And we know that because this offense is still trying to find itself, they need LaVine to have gargantuan performances to give this team a chance to win. And it didn't look like that would be the case last night. As I mentioned, he was really struggling to find his shot. He was just one of eight from behind the three-point line. But that 1-3 he did sink was a big one where he just essentially, the Bulls had gotten a stop. They were down 96-90 with, I think, you know, just under 2 minutes or so left in this game. And LaVine just takes the ball. And you could tell as he was bringing the ball up the court, he was going for a quick pull-up three. And he drilled that one to trim the Wizards' lead down to 96-93. And that was one of a few big plays that LaVine made last night. I mentioned, of course, already the fact that he was clutch from the free throw line, which is great to see out of a guy that you're hoping can be your team's closer in close games. But, of course, the cherry on top was the amazing play that Zach had to put the Bulls up on top for good. He drives, beats his man off the dribble, forces the help defense to come over in the paint, and has a beautiful dump-off pass to a wide-open Wendell Carter Jr. under the hoop, who has a nice little backside reverse layup to put the Bulls up 110-109. And then the Bulls get the final stop. Beal misses the last shot of the game. He got a decent look at it, but it wasn't an easy one. And that was thanks to the defensive efforts of Shaq Harrison, who had subbed in for the fouled-out Chris Dunn. But we were talking about a little bit on Outsiders last night, and to me, you love to see LaVine knock down big free throws. He's sort of, you know, trying to build his name as a guy who can be a clutch player in this league. But the best part was that the play that counted the most, and yeah, it was silly that the Wizards even let the Bulls back into this game at all, but they did, and the Bulls had a chance to steal one. And usually they're the ones coughing up these games, but they capitalized on the opportunity that was given to them, finally. And it all came down to a play where Zach LaVine, who we talk about all the time, being a player who struggles in those crunch time moments to make the right decisions, a player who still has not showcased that strong of a basketball IQ. And even earlier in the fourth quarter, he and Markkanen took two pretty bad back-to-back three-point attempts. In my opinion, they were bad shots. I mean, those are your two-star players. They're supposed to be your two-star players, and you want them closing games for you. But when the Bulls were mounting this comeback and they had made it 90% of the way back, with plenty of time left on the clock, the Bulls had two possessions where Lowry and Zach took, in my opinion, ill-advised three-point attempts instead of trying to get a look inside. And I thought that that could have been what ultimately had the Bulls falling short. But the Wizards just kept leaving that door open, thankfully. So after what I thought was a bad three-point attempt from Zach late in the fourth quarter, he hits some big free throws and then in overtime has this amazing drive and dish to Wendell for the win. Now, I still have my doubts about LaVine being a guy who could be a playmaker and not just a shot taker, especially late in games. I still don't know if he has that potential. But it was nice to see him close a game that way, getting to the free throw line, and also finding one of his teammates in a late-game scenario where most of us would have expected Zach to just take a shot on that possession. Certainly what I thought was going to happen. Sometimes he makes them, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he turns the ball over in those late-game scenarios. Saw a lot of that in recent history. So, yeah, I was salty on last night's episode of Outsiders, and I really, in the big scheme, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think this win means all that much. And I think it's kind of embarrassing that the Bulls needed the Wizards to roll over and die in the fourth quarter and have some head-scratchingly dumb stuff down the stretch to give the Bulls the chance to steal this game. I don't think it's all that impressive. But in a season that we're enduring right now where, hey, you take a win any way you can get it, it was nice to see the Bulls get it that way with some clutch stuff from Zach LaVine down the stretch. Before we get to the night Lauri Markkanen had, just wanted to give a shout-out to all of our Spotify listeners and Spotify Wrapped. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the 2019 calendar year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Bulls, Bulls underscore Peck, Jordan C. Malley, on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. We've already been doing that a lot. We've seen a lot of you guys listening and taking screenshots, showing us that Locked On Bulls is one of your top podcast listens for the 2019 year, and we could not be more appreciative and excited to share that with all of our listeners. We appreciate the fact that we've been able to share some time with you guys in the beautiful world of podcasting, and share our thoughts, our feelings, our moments of happiness, and our much more frequent moments of despair. As diehard Bulls fans all over the world, we appreciate it very much. All right, so Lauri Markkanen, he's been a roller coaster of emotion being a Lauri Markkanen stan so far this season. I really had high hopes for this kid. You know, Jordan and I are both on the train of believers who think Markkanen could be an all-star caliber player in this league someday, and we were hoping that this season would be that season. If he built on what he did in his first and second years in the league, we really saw potential for Lauri. And of course, he's battled through some minor nagging injuries. His shot has not been falling, and there has been a lot more to complain about than to praise when it comes to Lauri so far this season. And we've talked about all the different reasons for that. Some of it is his own lack of confidence and his own lack of aggression, and some of it is the scheme of this offense that does not make a point of getting Lauri his shots. We've seen all these nights where you check the box score and Lauri has only 10 or 11 or 12 shots, or some nights when he doesn't even have double-digit field goal attempts. So last night against the Wizards, Markkanen has 31 points on 12 of 19 from the field, adding 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. Markkanen was dominant, and I appreciate the fact that they continued to get him the ball. How many times, including Monday night's game, do you see Markkanen do some solid things offensively in the early parts of the game, and then they go away from him on the offensive end? They stop trying to get him the ball. And also for large stretches of certain games, including Monday night, Boylan leaves him on the bench for an inexplicably long period of time. And, you know, Kendall talks about it all the time. It's hard for a player to get in a groove if you don't give that player his minutes, especially a starter who you're trying to build as a star on a young team. That's why so much of what the Bulls have done offensively and the minutes for Lauri have been infuriating to me. But last night, against a pathetic defense, you saw him finally put a really strong game together. I mentioned 31 points, that is his highest since their season-opening loss against the Charlotte Hornets, where he poured in 35 points. The 19 field goal attempts, haven't seen that number in a long time. Finally, they start to actually give Markkanen the number of looks he deserves. Talk about developing a young team, and how often are we forced to see players not named Lauri Markkanen jack up more shots than he does? And that's not a knock on any particular other player on this roster, but I'm sorry. Like, you know, for all we wanted to believe in Thad Young being a solid signing, and we've been talking about Thad Young and his complaints about a lack of minutes recently and being a solid veteran addition in the offseason, Thad Young was 1 of 10 last night. So thank God Markkanen took 19 shots to Thad Young's 10, but how many times have we had to look in a box score and see Markkanen with fewer field goal attempts than somebody coming off the bench? That's not right. It's downright stupid, in my opinion. And yes, you can knock Markkanen for having a slow start to the season with his poor shooting slump and his lack of aggressiveness and the fact that physically he looks soft a lot of the time. But the only way for him to build his way out of that, to play his way out of that, is to play and shoot his way out of that. And you saw the physically aggressive Markkanen that we know is in there somewhere. We saw it last night. Because, yes, he did knock down 5 of his 10 three-point attempts, which is awesome. He's got to get that three-point percentage back up to where we all hope and know and believe that it can be, compared to the dreadful three-point shooting he did to begin the season. But even more than that, I like the fact that from inside the three-point line, Markkanen was 7 of 9. 7 of 9 from inside the three-point line. That is a part of Markkanen's offensive game that must exist on a nightly basis. You have to continue developing this kid and his ability to score inside. I don't want to hear this. Markkanen's just a three-point shooter. He can't do anything inside. He's not strong enough. He's not talented enough. Yes, he freaking is, in my opinion. Yes, he is. And again, you know, Sabine said this on Outsiders last night. It does come with a grain of salt because he was doing this against a defensively bad team in the Washington Wizards. But build off of that. Build your confidence, dropping 31 points, getting 7 buckets in and around the basket so that you can believe in yourself to do it against better defenses, against stronger defenses. I don't want to see this weak-ass Lauri Markkanen in the post anymore. We know it's in there. Whatever we need to do to cultivate that version of Lowry, the Bulls must continue to do it because this rebuild ain't going anywhere if he, along with Zach LaVine, does not turn into a star caliber player. And it's a big reason why the Bulls are 11-19 right now, because his own lack of aggression and the offensive scheme had turned Lauri Markkanen into a shell of himself. So I was thrilled to see the night that Lauri had. We so desperately needed it. I know it's in there. And that's why it was so frustrating through the first, you know, quarter, the first third of this season to see all these people commenting on Outsiders and, you know, tweeting on Bulls Twitter like, dude, we got to trade Lauri. This guy sucks. No, I refused to believe that. We saw what he can do last night. And I believe that regardless of what else happens the rest of this season, which sadly right now, I mean, the Bulls are only a few games out of the 8th seed. I still don't think if, for the most part, you continue to do what you're doing the way you've done it, that they're going to turn this around. And I don't think that this is a playoff team. But even if the Bulls have another underwhelming season and they finish somewhere between, you know, 27 and 33 wins, which is kind of the way I see things going, if Markkanen can at least turn around this awful start he's had to his season and show us what he's capable of and actually finish the season on a strong note with more performances like the one we saw last night, then at least I can take that as a positive. Something to build off of. And, you know, maybe, God willing, the Bulls find themselves a different coach, a better coach next season. Find a better offensive scheme that fits Lowry's talents next season. We can really see what kind of potential this kid has. Because I refuse to give up on the potential that I see in him. Thrilled. And to be honest, a little relieved from the game that I saw from Lauri Markkanen last night. Just a reminder to all of our listeners who are diehard Chicago fans across the board and not just Bulls fans that you should check out our entire family of Locked On Chicago-centric podcasts. In addition to Locked On Bulls, we have Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. Bears, sadly, eliminated from playoff contention following their loss and a couple of other NFC wins last week. But they've got a big Sunday Night Football matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid going against his disciple, Bears head coach Matt Nagy. Bears trying to play spoiler for a Chiefs team still fighting for their playoff seeding. Of course, Jay Zawoski does fantastic work covering the Blackhawks with Locked On Blackhawks. His colleague at 670 The Score, Jordan Malley's 670 The Score colleague, Herb Lawrence, does amazing work recently joining the Locked On family with Locked On White Sox. And of course, my guy Sean Sears holding it down with Locked On Cubs. So listen to those for all of you baseball nerds out there wanting to keep up with everything going on following those MLB winter meetings as we get deeper into this MLB offseason. So the last thing I wanted to touch on today, of course, was the performance of Chris Dunn. In case you missed it, I just recently retweeted it this morning. I wrote about Chris Dunn for my pecking order column for NBCSportsChicago.com last week, giving Chris a little bit of due credit for the way that he has played in this recent stretch. Of course, I still love to poke fun at his three-point shooting. To his credit, he has actually knocked down a couple recently, and that three-point percentage is all the way up to, get this, 21.9% after Wednesday night's game. Woo! He's on fire. NBA Jam on fire. Not quite. But yeah, so I mean, I poke fun at Chris for the 3-point shots. I poke fun at Chris for his penchant to foul out of games, which guess what? He did again on Wednesday. But he had a solid game on Wednesday night. I mean, Bradley Beal struggled in this game. I mentioned it, 4 of 19 from the field. And you have to credit Chris Dunn for some of that. I think in general, Beal was a little lackadaisical in stretches of this game. I think he was not engaged in this game for the majority of it. But you have to give Chris Dunn some modicum of credit for the way that Beal struggled in that game. And I mean, all this talk about, you know, Chris Dunn making an all-defensive team, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a little bit inflated. And I think, you know, part of the problem still is that foul trouble. He still commits a lot of, in my opinion, dumb fouls. Some of it is being over-aggressive when he doesn't need to be, but again, that is what leads to his impressive steal numbers on the season. So it's, to me, about finding some balance. You know, Will Perdue talked about this in a recent game when the pre- and post-game crew were talking about, you know, whether or not Dunn has what it takes to make an all-defensive team nod this season. And the fact that, yeah, an all-defensive selection should probably just be about defense, but if you're so bad on the offensive end, it could actually detract from those who might be inclined to vote for you for an all-defensive team, because when you look at the player's game as a whole, it's just not, it takes away from the level of impressive that the defense is if the offense is that bad. But so last night, Chris Dunn finishes 5 of 10 from the field, including, yes, 1 of 2 from downtown, for 15 points, adding 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 2 turnovers, and, yes, those 6 fouls. So it's unfortunate that he was not able to close this game. And as I mentioned earlier, it was Shaq Harrison D'ing up Bradley Beal on that final possession of the game, and credit Beal for, or credit Shaq Harrison for playing some solid defense and contesting and forcing Beal to take a somewhat difficult shot. But look, I know that I've been getting, you know, a little bit of heat or a little bit of snark, shout out Ned, on Twitter recently for being a Chris Dunn hater. And you know, and I know that my pal C. Red Fred is really loving what Chris Dunn is doing this season and doesn't think that we should trade him, and, you know, is happy that the Bulls did not trade him this, you know, this past offseason. And yeah, okay, I'll admit that I've cracked some jokes at Dunn's expense on Twitter this season when he, you know, chucks up another brick or fouls out of another game or commits a really dumb foul. Because that's who I am. I'm a sarcastic asshole. You listen to this podcast, you know that. I look at the negative before I look at the positive. And that's just me as a Bulls fan recently. And can you blame me for doing so? So, but I'm not going to sit there and say Chris Dunn hasn't done anything positive this season. Here it is. I'm giving him credit for being a positive entity on a Bulls team where there aren't many of those this season. And you know, when Otto Porter Jr. went down, I thought this team, I mean, they were already in rough shape before he got hurt. They weren't playing well. But I thought that was basically the nail in the coffin, thinking that it could be an extended absence. And now, especially learning that it will be a very extended absence, putting Chris Dunn into that starting lineup. I mean, it's better than Shaq Harrison, which we had to watch for a stretch of games there. But credit Dunn. I know Bulls fans are not loving this, you know, this three-guard lineup that we have to watch for so many minutes every night. But he has played well. He's definitely played with a chip on his shoulder this season. And now it becomes a matter of what the Bulls decide to do. They did not give him the extension, and after his performance last season, I don't blame them. They tried to trade him last offseason, and after that performance, I don't blame them. And that's coming from someone who was very high on Chris Dunn. I believed that Chris Dunn could be a really quality starting guard in this league. And I mean, so much so that I mentioned him in my audition tape for The Outsiders. When they told people who wanted to audition for that show to send them a 1-minute video giving your reaction to the Jabari Parker signing, which, of course, if you've been a longtime listener, you knew I thought that that was fucking ridiculous. But I mentioned the fact that, you know, worst case scenario, Jabari Parker's okay, but he's not great, and the Bulls pick up that option and just use that as an excuse for, you know, trying to get fans to come back. Well, we still got the Chicago kid Jabari. It's going to be great. Just hang on. When I would have rather focused their attention on figuring out a new contract for Chris Dunn. That's how much I believed in him a year and a half ago. And then last season happened, and I stopped believing in Chris Dunn. There's a difference between being a flip-flop and changing your opinion based on the evidence as time moves forward. But I was a Chris Dunn believer at some point, and then I stopped being one because of what I saw from him. And then this season, it's been a mixed bag. But recently, there's been more good with bad. More good than bad with Chris Dunn. And he had a solid game on Wednesday night. I mean, I just don't want people to overvalue what he's doing. Because, I mean, let's be honest. He's the one who talks a big game and talks about wanting to guard the best players on their opposing team every night and talks about, you look at my steal totals, do you see other players in the league doing what I'm doing when he's asked about making an all-defensive team selection? And then, you know, in the game against the Clippers, and yeah, the Bulls won that game, but, you know, he didn't do a great job D'ing up Paul George. And I know, you know, obviously he's given up some size in that matchup, but if you talk a big game, you got to back it up. And that's what Kendall Gillis said about Chris Dunn and his big mouth when it comes to talking and you know, beating his chest a little bit with his defensive game. And yeah, he played well. And he forced Bradley Beal into an underwhelming performance Wednesday night. But there were also moments in that game where he got cooked, including that bucket by Bradley Beal that he sank with 0.5 seconds left that should have been the game winner if the Wizards weren't collectively a dumber team than the Bulls are. That should have been game Wizards Beal after crossing up Chris Dunn and sending Chris Dunn flying. So yeah, I'll give Chris Dunn some credit, but I, you know, to the Chris Dunn defenders and the Dunn stands and the people saying to me, hey man, like lighten up, ease up on Chris Dunn, don't be so hard on him, give him some fucking credit for once. All right. Yeah, credit where it's due. But he's not elite. He creates a lot of steals. Great. That's not enough to call someone an elite defender. Because one-on-one defense, he still gets cooked by the best players in this league. And he's taking that upon himself and wants to be a guy who slows down and stops the best offensive players in the league. If you talk that game, you got to back it up. And in the biggest moment of the game last night, Bradley Beal made him look silly. There's no denying that. But credit to Dunn. Played well last night. He's been playing well recently. And now, who knows what the Bulls decide to do? Do they reevaluate who they see in Chris Dunn? Because even in his recent interview, Paxson once again left out Chris Dunn when rattling off, you know, the important names about still believing in this core, just as he did a year ago. And coming off of last season and through this offseason when mentioning the core pieces and then having to be reminded that he did not mention Chris Dunn's name and then saying, oh, I should have mentioned Chris, that's my fault. We all know that the Bulls were out on Chris Dunn. We all know that they called him out for not working hard enough, for not doing this, for not doing that, for not improving his shot, and then tried to trade him and couldn't because he had zero trade value on the market. Well, now, if he is starting to get some credit, and I mean, who knows, if the Bulls actually start winning some games, maybe multiple games, and Chris Dunn continues to play like this in Otto Porter Jr.'s absence as a starter who's D'ing guys up every night and actually shows some semblance of competence on the offensive end, his trade value will rise a little bit. But then do the Bulls decide to take that trade value and send Chris Dunn along because maybe they want to develop Coby White more next season, at the back end of this season? Get rid of the logjam they have in the backcourt? Or do they reevaluate how important he is to this team and see if they can come up with some kind of contract extension, a modest contract extension, this offseason? Because let's be real, the Bulls don't have a whole lot of moves to make this offseason. Otto Porter Jr. is going to pick up that option. They still got to pay Felicio another season. And I mean, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. So it'll be very curious to see what at all the whispers and rumors are around Chris Dunn's name as we get closer to that trade deadline in a couple of months, less than a couple of months now, in fact. But again, for all of you out there who think I'm too hard on Chris Dunn, I wanted to make a point to praise him for his efforts in last night's game and say, yeah, he's played well recently, but let's not go overboard showering him with praise. The expectations and the bar were low. So when a player exceeds expectations, largely because the expectations were set with the bar at the ground floor, I'm hesitant to, you know, make glowing reviews of a player when those are the circumstances with which you begin the season. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, as always. Hopefully, Jordan and I will be back on the mics together tomorrow. I know we've got some fresh voicemails in our inbox. We've got a bunch of text messages in that inbox. I think we've also got some people to check in on Facebook. So continue to send us all of that mailbag content, questions, comments, your reaction to the Bulls win over the Wizards Wednesday night. We've got the Pistons on deck after a couple of days off. Bulls play the Pistons on Saturday. Derrick Rose has been playing well. But the Bulls are 2-0 against the Pistons so far this season. So hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, for all your Bulls thoughts. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. Love y'all, Bulls Nation. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com